Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm just giving you this time. I'm giving you my heart. Lord, I know your heart is heavy this morning, and it's so difficult to bring out the grief of your heart. It's so easy when we're bringing out your joy, your mercy, and in your grief there's mercy. But Lord, I've just seen you grieving for 2 days now, and we're willing to share your grief this morning. So please share your grief with us. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to talk about abortion. I don't like to talk about abortion, but I don't even remember the numbers. I can't bear to remember them. I always have to ask you, how many babies are being aborted? How many have been aborted?
Something like 60 million.
60 million babies. It is the largest scale mass murder ever in the history of this world. 60 million little lives. And they don't die. They just move to heaven. They're there. They're very much alive.
Yeah.
But their life on this earth was taken from them. I know some wonderful things about that, some encouraging things about that that God has shared with me. And before we even start, I want you to know, I'm not going to drag you into the depths of despair and then send you home sad. There is a great sadness about abortion, but there's also God's mercy. There's God's mercy toward those who decided to end the life of these babies. God forgives, God restores, God heals the heart. There's also hope for the babies that went to heaven. And that's what I want to share with you today. I want to share, I do a lot of writing of stories, but God downloads the stories in me. So I'm going to call it fiction, but it could be true. We'll find out when we get there, okay? But first, I'm going to give you pictures in. If I flip them over, I'll give them to you in the right order. Just because it helps to visualize. So here's your first handout. I'm going to keep you jumping because they're going to come at one at a time. Yeah, there's your first handout. This is, aren't they cute? This is a fictional story about the experience of somebody who died temporarily, like on an operating table. You know, we've heard about people. My sister had an out-of-body experience when she was dying with cancer, and she was out of her body just for moments and felt the presence of Jesus, and then she went back in her body. But I have heard of people who said that they actually went into heaven and had glimpses of heaven, and then they were revived and came back in their body, and they shared this short glimpse of whatever they saw. Some of those reports seem to match who God is and what we read in Scripture. Some of them seemed so far from the reality of what the Bible teaches us that you couldn't believe what you were reading, you know. And I don't know why, but I had to discard those because they just didn't line up to who God is. Somebody told me once all the people that didn't please God were dressed in different color clothes. That's not the way God does things. Everyone's loved and accepted and restored. Nobody's walking around in a different color robe because they failed, you know. So I don't believe all those stories. I think I believe some of them. And this one just felt so real to me that, you know, it really gripped me. I know I'm going to get you back on your feet real quick, but I'm going to give you another one. Go ahead and hand this out. Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? They may forget, but I will not forget you." There is forgiveness for those who have aborted their babies. Psalm 145:8, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger." Should be an R on that. I typed it quick this morning. "And of great mercy." This is unedited. Sorry. Yeah, thank you. So I'm going to just kind of read through this story. Since I wrote it, I can improvise and talk through it some. This is a story as told by Ruth, who died on the operating table temporarily and then was revived. And, you know, it's really funny because I've had visions, I've had glimpses with God, and you feel, it's kind of like a dream, only you're awake. And you feel like, oh my gosh, what God just showed me, I must have been there for like hours. And you look at the clock and it's been 5 minutes. In eternity, there is no time. Everything is just timeless, you know. So she wasn't there very long. but it seemed like quite a long experience to her. So this is what Ruth began to say. While I was in heaven, Jesus introduced me to a young man. He had no name because he had died in the womb of a young girl. She, being only 13, regretted becoming pregnant, and fearing to face her parents, she had an abortion. The Lord called this nameless boy, son. Things are different in heaven. Introductions don't really need any words. Some things we just feel like we know them without asking. Other things are just not important. We don't waste our time with saying, oh, glad to meet you. How old are you? Where do you live? What are the plans for your work of your life? You see, Sonny didn't have a life. He didn't have a life to plan. It had been taken. But if I had to guess, I would say this boy was about 17 years old. He had grown up in heaven. His eyes were beautiful, kind of a turquoise blue and piercing, just penetrating my heart. His smile was sweet and gentle. It was easy to fall in love with him the moment we met. He didn't touch me physically. That wasn't allowed, since I was only a visitor to the realm of heaven. But he won a place in my heart, and I'll never forget him. One day we'll meet again when it's my time to enter eternity. There was a very good reason the Lord allowed me to meet this young man. Sonny had a message for me to deliver on earth, a message to his mother and father, and to all the parents who had made a choice to abort their unborn babies. His voice was gentle and kind as he shared with me. I'm now living in heaven with Jesus. I'm happy most of the time, but there are days when I watch the arrival of parents who have longed to meet their children. Their reunions are amazing. There's hugging, crying, tears of joy, laughter, all sorts of exchanges of love. On those days, I've learned what it means to feel lonely and sad. I asked Jesus to explain, why don't I have a reunion day to look forward to? He told me that the bonds of people form on earth. They're held for all of eternity, but those that are broken forever. He wept as he reminded me my parents had broken our bond. They had not chosen to love me. In fact, they've tried their best to forget that I ever existed. I cried as I remembered life in my mother's womb. It felt safe and warm. I thought one day I'd meet her. Then something changed, and my memory quickly ended. The next thing I knew, I was with Jesus. He told me he had taken me up to be with him. I would have no memory of that scene. I was held in his arms, cuddled and comforted by his love. Through the years, I've watched my parents on earth. Jesus wanted me to know them. We prayed together, hoping one day they would change their mind, regretting they had cut me out of their lives. If only they would come to Jesus and ask him to forgive them, he would erase the guilt and shame and restore their hearts to want me and love me again. I wondered, would my mother ever regret ending my life? Would she ever wish she could meet me? I got so excited when I learned that I could have a reunion day with my mom and dad if they only wanted one. We could be rejoined when they came to heaven. I had hope. I prayed harder than ever for them to come to Jesus. As he spoke, tears formed in his eyes. He had no hate, no revenge, nothing but pure love for his parents. His heart ached to meet them, to know them, to spend eternity living with them. I turned to the Lord and asked, why didn't you give him a name? Jesus smiled. That honor belongs to his parents. The moment they reclaim their son, they'll be allowed to choose his name. But what if they never do choose him? I hated the idea he would be nameless, parentless, forever. The peace of the Lord was unshaken by my panic. He assured me, for this boy, his mother will provide his name. His father will never know him. However, he will have a new father. On earth, they call that stepfather. I call it love father. I love that terminology, love father. There are many women who do regret their choices when they have an abortion. The guilt and the sorrow has tortured them long enough. They need to know there can be forgiveness, even restoration, if they'll just come to Jesus for mercy. This, Christians, is the message we must carry, not condemnation, not guilt, not threats, but hope, love, and mercy for a mother, even hope for the unwanted babies in heaven, because there's a heavenly adoption agency. It's open to all who would choose to become love parents, to those who are waiting for a reunion day. You don't have to qualify. There's no limit on the number of children you can adopt, knowing that we already have 8 up there as of last night. Only those whose birth parents do not want them, those are the only children you can adopt. There's many whose parents will repent. Jesus holds them aside to wait for that day. But you can select one or as many as you like. You can choose by gender, race, listing all the details that you prefer. There's millions of them available. And the moment you pick one, you give them a name. You won't see your child until you arrive in heaven, but they will see you. They will have the seed of hope planted in their heart. They'll be given glimpses of your life, so their anticipation grows about the day you come. When finally you come to that reunion day, they will greet you with open arms, ready to begin eternity with you. If you've ever lost a baby due to abortion, the Lord is full of loving mercy for you. He doesn't want to punish. He wants to forgive and restore. No life is erased. No life can be erased. It is simply moved to heaven to continue there and to grow up. Some mothers have lost a baby in miscarriage, and they thought, you know, that baby didn't exist anymore. Even the babies that were lost in miscarriage or early death, they have gone on into heaven, and they continue to live and to grow. And I'm going to stretch your mind a little bit if you've not ever had a vision or been in the presence of God in that way where you get a glimpse into heaven. But I lost a baby, and every year come January, I would grieve. I'd get out his little box and his little blanket and his little spin toys and everything that we'd made for him. And I would cry and I would grieve. And actually, I'm not a big crier, so mostly I grieved without crying. But I would just let myself spend a day in grieving. Oh, my little baby, I wish I still had you. I could hold you. So after he would have been 17, maybe that's why I picked that number. I didn't think about that till right now. When he would have been 17 and I got out his little box, it was like the Lord said, when are you going to stop grieving over a baby when he has become a 17-year-old young man? He's growing up. You need to think differently about him. And this has only happened to me twice in my life. It's extremely rare. It doesn't happen. But as I closed my eyes to thank God, I heard a 17-year-old say, Mother, I love you. And now I wept. For 30 straight minutes, I just wept and wept and wept. What's such a wonderful gift. I think God wanted me to know they do grow up in heaven. They do exist. They do love us. They have glimpses of us. And he let me know that because I've had a ministry of restoring mothers to their children. I take little baby roses, and as I tell them, though you've cut that life off, though you've lost that life, God wants you to restore that relationship. And if they will come forward and ask God's mercy, we give them a little rosebud and tell them, now you have reformed that bond with your child and you will be together again in heaven. And that child knows it too, and it's so exciting. Even if it wasn't an abortion, if it was some other kind of a death, another thing the Lord shared with me was that they do have purpose. They had their life taken, but God has given them purpose. They still exist with purpose. And they're real. They're alive. They have feelings. They have emotions. They have thoughts. They were created with purpose. They're a real human being. They're not a useless little seed. And you read in that first one that I handed out to you, God said, before you were in the womb, I knew you. Before you were even in a womb, I knew you. Before he placed her in, before she was even conceived and put inside that womb, God created that being, and everything that makes them a person was there. And he had relationship. He knew them. He experienced relationship with them. Then he placed him in a womb to be born into a human body. No one can erase the life that God created. Right. You may kick them out of the womb, and you may kick them off this planet, but you cannot erase them. The reason I'm bringing this today, yesterday was a declared day to grieve and mourn and pray that America, that the whole world would wake up to the truth. They are real people. They deserve to live. It is mass murder. 6 billion little souls. Not wanted for some selfish reason. One girl told me she did it because she didn't want to lose her good figure. If you took that same baby out of that womb, would you take a knife and cut them in pieces because you don't want to lose your good figure? Would you cut up that little child because you don't want them to intrude into your busy life? Or because you were raped? Only God can create a life. That rapist didn't create life. God did. And that child needs to be loved, no matter who the father was. So I just, with God today, I just grieved with him yesterday. I spent the entire day just on this one subject because it was so on God's heart. They're passing new laws. A couple of states have already said the baby can be murdered full term now. They can even birth the baby, then kill it full term. Wow. In two of our states. It's just a horrible, horrible cruelty. It's hard to believe that good-hearted American people could think that it's not murder, that that life isn't important. It's very, very grievous. All I want you to do, all I really want you to do is pray. Pray that America wakes up. Pray that she stops doing this. But I do want to share with you that Heaven's Adoption Agency is open year-round. And you can adopt any child you want. And you know, actually it's a good match because when you say, yes, I want to adopt one, it's almost like God puts a certain one in your heart. One will just, in your mind, there will be, well, I want a little girl with red hair and green eyes, or I always wanted a little boy. And sometimes it's not what you always wanted. My husband had never in his life expressed any desire that we would cross race and adopt a little black child. But when I showed him some little pictures last night that you're about to get, I have to tell you, Chester was adopted last night. He's no longer available. He's a little black baby who was waving at Harvey. And he said, that one just keeps waving at me. He keeps waving at me. And I went, I think he picked you. It's kind of like when we got our cat. She picked him more than he picked her. So if you want to hand these out, these, of course, aren't real literal pictures of babies. They're cartoons, but they just kind of let you know that if you want one, you can have one. And it's really strange because I have adopted, since my boy died, who would now be about 42. He would be 42 on Earth. My theory is nobody gets past 20 in heaven because we don't have to get old again. But here he would have been 42. So I chose ones that God had me choose. But in over the years of choosing them, I had no idea what they really looked like or how old they were. But the day, was it before or after Valentine's? I can't remember. I think it was the day before Valentine's. The Lord said, today is Jessa's birthday. And I went, what? And he said, she turned 14 this year. So I actually put it on my calendar. Jessa had a birthday and now I know her age. So it's not that you will know anything, but they know, and she must have wanted me to know, so God let me know. So I just want to pray this today that we join and we overcome this murder. And you know, there's one good prophetic thing about it. Before Moses was born, it had been prophesied that a deliverer was coming to lead the people, God's people, out of bondage and slavery. The king of the land heard it, began murdering all the baby boys 2 years old and under, trying to make sure he killed the one who would be the deliverer. He missed, of course, and Moses was born, and he did lead the people out of bondage. Before Christ came, all the prophets were saying, there is the Messiah coming, the Savior who will die to pay for our sin, the one who took all of our sin on himself and paid for it, that we could enter eternity, we could be redeemed. We could be forgiven. He's coming. And again, the king ordered that all male babies under the age of 2 be murdered because some of the prophets said Christ had been born. So he tried to murder every baby to kill the Savior. And again, he missed. Jesus is getting ready to come back. The whole end of this world is going to happen one day because the work of God on earth, this earth that we've corrupted and destroyed, will be done, and he's going to create a new one. But before that day, there's a great move of deliverance coming, a great move of God, where this time he's not sending out one Moses, he's sending Jesus out inside of many people. Multitudes and multitudes will carry the presence of Christ to win souls, to rescue people from sin and slavery and death and hell. And right now, the prophecies, they've been in the air. They've been spoken now for years. And the murder of babies again, the devil trying to kill the voice of God, the deliverance of God. It's always a sign something big is about to happen. And the devil's trying to prevent it. And again, he'll miss. Again, he'll miss. I had a cousin down in Arkansas, my mom's cousin, far removed, who had her tubes tied and said, I'm not going to have any more babies. Well, I think two of God's little messengers were determined to slip through. She birthed twins after having her tubes tied. When God said there's going to be a life, there's going to be a life. No one can stop it. So the ones who are meant to walk this earth, carry the end time messages, they're going to get through. But God was just weeping. He was just weeping. It's not painless to take those babies. They have feelings. The ways of abortion are cruel. They don't consider them to be real people. They don't believe, they feel. It's the same attitude that was toward Jews. They don't deserve to live. And they started murdering them. We just need to join God in his grief over this. Lord, we volunteer to be your intercessors. We pray with you today that you awaken, beginning with our America, the hearts in leadership, the hearts in government, the lawmakers, God, that they would see a baby and look in those eyes and realize this is a life that matters. Lord, we ask you to overthrow the laws of abortion beginning in our country. We're not a heathen country. We're not a wicked people. But the devil has deceived our leaders on this issue. And we give it into your hands and we beg you to overthrow, overcome everything the enemy is doing here and restore the right to live to babies. Thank you, Jesus.